Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another. So we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege of taking my youngest son, Owen, to Junior Bash. This was with the 4th through 6th graders here at Northside. We went to Maranatha Bible Camp for a weekend retreat. We had a blast together with those kids, playing dodgeball late at night, doing high jumping onto the mattresses in the dorms, you know, the things I don't let my kids do at my house. We get to do at camp. And so we just had a great time together. But I want to tell you about one of the highlights, one of the treats that we had. We were doing some rotations on Saturday morning, and our guys, our Northside guys, they took us down to the south property, and we went down to where Maranatha Bible Camp is in the process of building a 4-acre lake. And obviously, this is going to be used for a lot of things at the camp, and everyone's getting excited about it. And the kids all went down there where a dozer had already done a bunch of clearing for the dam and for some other things down there. And the boys, after some exploring, huddled around, and we had a prayer time standing right where water will be over their heads one day. And we began to pray for what God is going to do there. And they were praying for things like the finances for, you know, people to provide for what God was going to do. They were praying for the volunteers that would come and work and actually clear trees and all this stuff. They were praying for their safety. But one of the things, I think one of the most powerful moments for all of us adults probably that were there that day is the boys just took turns. They were all praying as we were standing down there. And they began to pray for their children and for their grandchildren and for all the kids who would come to this camp, that they would see God in His creation, and that they would, when they come, get to know Jesus, that they believe in Jesus, and their kids and their grandkids would believe in Jesus. And here were these, they were 4th graders, right? 5th graders, 6th graders, and they were praying for their kids and then the next generation, and it was so cool to hear them pray about that. Tiffany Bloom, our children's minister, said that when the girls were down there on their rotation, they were doing the same thing, praying for those. And one of the prayers for me as I heard them praying was just, God, never let them lose their passion to share Jesus with people. Never let them lose their passion to share Jesus with their kids and the next generation. And I was so inspired to hear them pray about that. Because what I hear about oftentimes is that Christians, we struggle to do that. In fact, Lifeway did a little research. They said that 61% of Christians had not shared their faith with anyone else in the past 6 months. In other words, over the past 6 months, they had not talked to anyone else about how they could be saved or how they could have a relationship with God. And maybe that's you. Maybe the last 6 months you're like, man, I don't know if I've done. Maybe you hesitate to share your faith. Maybe you cringe a little. Maybe you feel inadequate or you feel a little scared. Maybe you overestimate how much knowledge you have to have just to share what Jesus has done in your life with someone else. Maybe you underestimate the power of your story or the power of the Holy Spirit working in someone else's life. Or maybe you wrongly estimate how complex it is to share about God's glory with other people. Maybe you think it's actually a really complex thing when in fact it can be quite simple. You don't have to be the Billy Graham who's articulating the gospel behind some large podium, you know, rah, 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 you know, the people are responding to the gospel. In fact, the text we're going to be looking at today, I'm not implying that Billy Graham sounds like that. I know I just did that. But in Psalm 145, God's word just says, you know, it's a lot simpler than that. We make this so complex, it's really way more simple to share the glory of God with others, to pass it on to the next generation. And so what I want you to do, if you have your Bible or device today, I want you to open up to Psalm chapter 145. Because as you open up to that, God is going to reveal to us that God wants to use your worship of Him to help draw others closer to Him. He wants to use your worship of Him to draw others closer to Him. And it's not so complex. Normally, we think of our worship as something we do between us and God. And normally, we think of our worship as something we do when we sing to God, like what we just finished doing a few moments ago, that's what worship is. It's singing, and it's just something that's between us and God. But in fact, what we've been learning through this series called Learning to Breathe, worshiping like your life depends on it, is that everything we do for the glory of God is an act of worship. Everything we do is an act of worship. And that your worship can have an evangelistic impact on the people around you. It doesn't have to be complicated. In fact, in this psalm, Psalm chapter 145, David writes this psalm. It's the last psalm attributed to David. And this is going to be the last psalm that we talk about in our series as we conclude this series this morning. And I want us to just consider how God wants to use your worship to evangelize the people around you. Now, before we start reading Psalm 145, I want to set it up. I want to tease it a little bit with this psalm. It's going to be right up here on the screen. Psalm 96, 1 through 3 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples." Now I want to pause for just a moment, leave this up here, because I want you to notice just a couple things about this psalm. First of all, we are to day after day declare His salvation. Day after day, we are to worship and sing His praise. Day after day. That means consistently, strategically, every day, in an ongoing fashion, consecutively, systematically, day after day, we are to declare His glory. Declare His glory. Glory is one of those Hebrew words that meant weight. Declare God's weightedness. How weighty He is. How heavy He is. In fact, the ancient Hebrews used to talk about wealth in this way. They would use this word to talk about someone who was very wealthy. They would call a rich person heavy in wealth. They were heavy in wealth. We do the same thing. We talk about somebody who's really rich and we say, man, they're loaded, right? They're loaded. They are heavy in wealth. They're loaded. And what the author here is saying is declare His glory. God is loaded with splendor. He's loaded with beauty and holiness and love. He's loaded. We want to declare how loaded God is. So every day, day after day, declare His glory. And the third thing it said was among the nations. Among the nations. In other words, this song that you sing is not just between you and God. It is for the purpose of making Jesus known to the nations. It's for making Jesus known to others. Matt Papa, worship leader, songwriter, he says it this way: the goal of missions is a louder song for Jesus. The goal of missions is a louder song for Jesus. God wants you to engage in worship evangelism, that your worship would become evangelistic in nature, that others would see God through you and His glory would be made known through you. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we enter into this psalm, Psalm 145, that will also talk about God's glorious splendor a little later in this psalm. But here's how Psalm 145 begins. David says here, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever." I mean, picking that every day, ever and ever. "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." He's going to extol the Lord. Remember, extol means to praise enthusiastically. It means to rave about, to go wild about. He says, every day, day after day, forever and ever, I will praise your greatness. I want to talk to you today about how you can share God's glory with others from the Psalms. And the first one is this: praise God for His work in your life every day. Just start off with this. I want us to get back to the basics. Can we just get really simple this morning? Let's not make this complex. Can we just praise God for His work in our lives every day? Let's just start with that. I think maybe for some of us today, we need to reevaluate how we start and how we end our days. Maybe it's time that we just go out onto the deck. We go out onto the back patio, especially this time of year. Was this morning not beautiful? Did you get up today and see the sunrise and just how beautiful it is outside? Maybe it's time just to step out there and start or end or both start and end your day with praising God for who He is and what He's done. Just start with that. Maybe for some, this might be a good time just to start journaling every day, just journaling some praise to God for who He is, for the work in your life. And just start praising Him for that, journaling that so you can read it. And then the next day you can read up on what you wrote the previous day. Maybe it's time that as you start your mornings and you start heading out, maybe Mike and Mike on ESPN, which is what I tend to kind of like to listen to in the mornings, maybe it's time to drop the mic and Mike for just a little bit. And maybe we start off just worshiping and a little singing to God even while we drive to start our day. Maybe instead of starting or ending our day with what everybody else thinks on social media, we start listening to what God thinks, and we start listening to Him. David goes on to say in Psalm 145:5, he says, I will meditate on your works, your wonderful works. I will meditate. It is not very often in my conversations with people when we're talking about faith and life that they get into talking about their practice of meditation. It's not something that we're real good at. It's not something we do very often. And probably the reason for that is because meditation is impossible when you're in a hurry. It's impossible when you're in a hurry. But let me ask you this. Maybe you don't spend a lot of time meditating, but how many of you in the past couple weeks have spent just a little bit of time worrying? Do you want to be honest about that? A little bit of time worrying? If you can worry, you can meditate. Worry is thinking about something over and over again, typically something that's beyond your control. Meditating is thinking on something over and over again. Only meditating is thinking upon God and His promises and His Word, as opposed to things that are outside of your control that you can do little about. Meditating is something that David says that is a critical aspect in his worship of God. It's something he practiced over and over again. And meditating is not emptying your mind. It's not emptying it all away, get it all out, can't think about anything. That's opposite of meditating. Meditating is actually filling your mind with thoughts of God. Meditating is spending time chewing the cud, going over and over and regurgitating. That's what cows did, right? They swallow, they regurgitate. That's what meditating actually is. It's just chewing on it over and over and letting God and His words just sink into the mind, contemplating, thinking on it. And if you're going to praise God for the work He's done in your life, you first have to meditate on and think about what God has done in your life every day. Maybe that's a practice you've been neglecting, and that's part of how you're going to start in your days, is just thinking on Him, meditating on Him. It's not a practice we normally do because we're in a hurry. You can't meditate in a hurry. Meditating takes, you have to soak in and linger on it for a while. And so maybe it's time we practice that. As David meditated on God, he began to praise God for all the things he did. Now, David has a lot he could meditate on. He could meditate on how God had delivered his people, Israel, from the hands of the Egyptians and brought them into the promised land. He could have meditated on how God brought him out of obscurity and made him king of Israel. He could have meditated on how he had been protected from his enemies and how God had held his life in his hands and how his life had been changed by God, and now he was a man after God's own heart. There was a lot of things he could have meditated on, but I want to challenge you to think on, meditate on some things this week. Let me give you some questions you can meditate on. Let's start with this one. Maybe this week you could just start meditating on and thinking about how has Jesus changed your life. Think about that for a little bit. How is your life different because Jesus is in your life? Who would you be right now? What would you have become without Christ in your life? Think about that. Meditate on that. Think about this question. How has Jesus changed your life? What makes God so great? Think about what makes God so great. His attributes, His character. His purposes. And then you can think of this question. How has God worked throughout history to reveal himself to people and show them a better way? Just meditate and think about how throughout history God has worked to bring out his plan and his purposes of salvation for people, to free us from guilt, to give us a new life, and to take that message to others through all the nations. Just meditate and think on those things for a while. When we don't think about those things, then we're not as prepared to declare his glory among the nations. One of our small group leaders asked his small group one time the question, how is your life different because you have chosen to believe and follow Jesus? And he says, there was silence because they hadn't thought and meditated on that fact. You see, if we meditate on God every day, if we worship God every day, we will have reasons to praise God every day for the changes and the work that he's done in our lives. So we want to praise God for his work in our lives. Now the text goes on. Let's read it together. Psalm 145 goes on. It says, one generation commends your works to another. This is why I was thinking about these boys and their prayers. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Now, David is committed in his worship of making sure that the next generation knows how glorious God is, so that the next generation will know how glorious God is, so that through all generations they will celebrate the splendor of the glory of his kingdom. David is using a lot of verbs as he is talking about his worship here. I mean, he's saying he's commending God. That means praising God, complimenting God to the next generation. He says, I'm telling of his mighty acts. I'm telling of his glory. I'm speaking of his glorious splendor, proclaiming his great deeds, celebrating and joyfully singing. David is speaking, celebrating, proclaiming all of this. In other words, here's what he's doing. Tell others about God's work in your life every day. Day after day, he says, forever and ever, he's going to praise God for the work in his life and who he is. He's going to tell others about God's work in his life every day. Every day there should be opportunities that God is providing us where we can just talk, just share something about what God is doing in our life. Now I want you to think for a moment about this generational concept that David introduces in this psalm. In other words, if you have children in your home, or you work with children, or you have grandchildren that you have regular contact with, you have a voice in their life, I want to challenge you today to renew your commitment, to re-up your commitment, to tell the next generation about the things that God is doing in your life. If you have access to kids, or you have kids in your home, start by telling them the stories of how God has worked in your life. It amazes me how often sometimes it's at a funeral and people start telling stories about someone, and they have stories about what God has done in their life, and kids or family, man, they're hearing about it like for the first time. They're like, I didn't know that was going on. We need to tell our stories of what God is doing in our life to our kids, to children, to the next generation. We need to talk about what God's doing in our life and in the church and in the world. We need to read scripture together. We need to pray together. We can do that in so many different ways. On our way to school, we can be reading the Bible together. We can be praying out loud together and use that time in the car. If you have young children, you can easily just open your email that you're getting every single week and look at that Homefront Weekly that's right there in your inbox. That's already telling you the topics your kids are going to discuss that coming Sunday. And you can just right then and there, just start having a conversation. Just there's usually a circle with a few questions you could ask your kids and a text you could read. Just do that with them or do the activity with them. I would strongly encourage you to go to retreats with your kids and go to camp with your kids. I have done this since my kids were little, and I'm telling you right now, I can't think of one thing I've done that's had a greater impact or been more bonding for us than going to camp together or going to a retreat together. And while I can see my kids growing in Christ, and I get to kind of be a part of it. And as they get older into their teenage years, sometimes I'm observing that from a little bit more of a distance, giving them the space, right, with their friends and the other adult leaders that are there. But I'm still there, being a part of it. They're seeing me in those environments as well, growing in my faith and pursuing the Lord. And I just want to encourage you, do that kind of stuff with your kids. That's how you can talk about God's work in your life. You get to share those stories and share those experiences. It's powerful. Start there with that next generation. And then David says, it's not just about the next generation, it's about every nation. It's about all people. Tell your co-workers, tell your friends about your church, or about what God is doing, or about stories of what God is doing in your life. I want to share with you really quick a story. Zeb Myers was up here at church a couple weeks ago, and Kevin Punch, our youth minister, kind of interviewed him. We got him on camera just kind of talking about God and his life, because Zeb's just one of those guys. He started coming to church here in 2009, and I'm telling you, he was raw. He was raw in the faith. He was baptized into Christ here. God's still doing a good work in his life, but I'm telling you, because God has transformed his life so much, people, I mean, he just can't help but talking about Jesus. It cracks me up because I will occasionally, people will come to church and he's invited, and they'll come to church here and maybe I'll meet them and we're talking, and they're like, did you know Zeb before he, and I'm like, you know, I didn't really know him well before he came to know Christ. It was more that part of the story, and they're like, I'm telling you right now, if you didn't know Zeb, if God can change him, God can change anybody. That's what they're telling me. And that's like a compliment, right? And Zeb's right there. Yep, you did, you know. So anyway, I want to, Zeb, just to tell a little bit of his story of how God is changing his life and how he can't help but just share it with others. So just go ahead and give your attention to the screen.
There's a few words people use to describe me. The first would be outgoing. Another would be obnoxious. And the third would probably be on fire for Jesus. My parents didn't attend church. As far as I know, my mother didn't attend church since she was a youngster, really young kid. She went with her aunt and uncle, and she was probably about 5 years old the last time she had been in church, and by the time I was born, she was in her mid-20s. My father, he hadn't been in church since he was a 15-year-old boy, and he was in his late 20s. My home wasn't the most civil. We didn't all get along all the time, or much of the time at all, and so I became really defiant at a really young age. My defiance started being real outgoing so that you could tell that I was doing things wrong. Like I was just really bold about it. And then as I got older and the punishments got more severe, I kind of kept it on the down low until I didn't want people to find out. And so by the time I was in high school, I was doing just about anything wrong that I could in about any way that I could. Well, I've had a couple of types of conviction in my life. I've had Holy Spirit conviction, and I've had law enforcement conviction. And so I believe I was convicted of my first felony at about 15 years old. It was for assault. And then later I got convicted of a felony theft, and I was about 18 or 19 years old at that time and went to prison later for that at about 20 to 21. Then again, I was convicted in 2002 for some assault and some violent crimes, and I went back to prison a little later. And it wasn't until I was about 32 years old, I'd been in the church for about 3 to 3.5 years, when the Holy Spirit really convicted me of the life that I had been living. When my son was about 2 years old, we got led here to Northside Christian Church. What a divine appointment by God. I left my career to go to college here in Springfield, Missouri, and I came face to face with Jesus right here in this church. I'll tell you what, when I came to Jesus Christ in February of 2010 and I was baptized in this church on July 11th, 2010, my life radically changed from that point forward. And I was going to college here at Ozark Technical Community College in Springfield, Missouri. I was sitting in classrooms full of people, some of them who knew Jesus, some of them who didn't. And I just wanted to share what God was doing in my life. And then I started being ashamed and carrying all the burden of guilt, which Jesus told me I needed to lay at the foot of the cross when I accepted him as Savior, and I believed in him and was given the gift of salvation. And so one of the things that happened for me was God started miraculously changing those things in my life. Like I laid cigarettes down at the altar. I laid cussing down at the altar. I laid all these things down at the feet of Jesus. And he just radically transformed my life. And as he began to change those things about me, I was able to share about him. All these people who had seen me sneaking off after class or just before class to go smoke out at the edge of the parking lot because you weren't supposed to smoke on campus, which was new for me too. Once they started seeing these things change for me, like it was much easier for me to share about what Jesus was doing. They would be like, hey, do you want to go have a cigarette? Or you know, they would ask me out to do things that like they were doing that I used to do. And I was like, oh, you know, I quit. And they were like, how did you do that? And I was like, well, you know, I met this guy, man. One of the best guys I've ever met in my entire life. As a matter of fact, he is the best. And they were like, who's that? His name's Jesus. God's done a whole lot for me. I know he's done a lot for everybody in the church and even many outside the church, because it says that the rain will fall on the just and the unjust. But I'm telling you, like, he's done a lot for me. Like, I can't help but talk about him. Like, the things he's done for me, I can't keep quiet about. Like, they're that significant. They've made that large of an impact on my life. One of the things that's always helped benefit me in praising Jesus Christ is to read over and over and over again about the things that he's doing for his people, the things that he has done for his people, and the things that he promises he will continue to do for his people. And I'm telling you, it is so easy to worship our God when you know who he is, and it's written in his word. Just the more that I'm overwhelmed by stories of God's grace and mercy in the lives of his people, the easier it is for me to exalt him for mine.
Yeah, we praise God for what he's doing. You know, Zeb today, he's on a mission trip to Mexico with a group from our church. He's gone now multiple times down there and been a part of that. So another good reason to have this on video so we could share it. But it's just, you know, I am inspired when I'm around Zeb just to see his boldness for the Lord and his love for what God is doing in his life. And it's as simple as that. It's just as simple as that. God says in his word that he can use us to declare his glory to the nations through our obedience, through our faith, through our actions, through our speech, through our service to others. As we live a life of worship every day, it is an act of declaring God's glory in our lives. And so we just want to praise God for his glory, his work in our life, but we also want to tell others about his work in our lives. And that can start with our children and then proceed to others. We want to tell others. But then there's another critical aspect here to worship that I think is really important, to worship evangelism. Psalms goes on to say this in Psalm 145, 8 through 10, that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Some translations right there will say, give thanks to you, Lord. So a number of translations will use the word gratitude or thanksgiving. They will praise you. They will thank you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. Now, what I want to bring out really quick is David goes on in the following verses, which we won't have time to read this morning, but in verses 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, he talks about all the things that he's grateful to God for, that he wants to thank God for. He thanks God for his promises that are fulfilled, and he thanks God for loving what he has made, and how God upholds those who fall, and how he lifts up those who bow down to him, how he provides for all his people in so many ways, how he draws near to those who call on him, how he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. And what we see is that David's worship is just infused with gratitude. It's infused with gratitude. In fact, I want us to write this down. Worship is gratitude. It is gratitude for God's glory. People who are not filled with gratitude are not worshiping God. Gratitude is essential to worship, which leads me to say this. Give thanks for God's work in your life every day. So praise God for his work in your life every day. Declare his glory for the work in your life every day. Tell others about his work in your life. But then last of all, give thanks to God for his work in your life every day. Fill your heart with gratitude. It will change your outlook, your perspective. It'll lift up your countenance. It'll help you overcome your depression and the things you're discouraged about right now. A grateful heart highlights God's grace and kindness towards us. An ungrateful heart casts suspicion on God's character and his goodness. When you're filled with ingratitude, your attitude will communicate that God doesn't care. He's not involved or powerful enough to do anything about it in your life. Ingratitude is actually evidence, according to Scripture, that you lack faith, that you lack belief. It's the very same thing that happened to the children of Israel that God brought out of Egypt in this triumphal march. I mean, he parted the Red Sea. He destroyed the Egyptian army. He gave them manna from heaven to provide for their needs while they're in the desert. He gives them water to drink. He guides them with a cloud by day, fire by night. When they're headed into the promised land, those ex-slaves did little but complain. Exodus 14 says they complained about leadership. And when their backs were against the Red Sea, they said, "You brought us here to die." And they began to complain, but they were just on the brink of a miracle. In verse 15, they complained that there was no water to drink, and God brought them water out of a rock. In verse 16, they were complaining there was nothing to eat, and God was providing them manna. They grumbled again because they didn't have variety, and God gave them variety. In Numbers 11, they complained about their hardships, and God's patience was wearing thin. And just as they were about to enter the promised land flowing with milk and honey, God's ultimate destination for his people, 10 spies came back and said, "You know what? We can't do it. The land is too big. The people are too big. We can't do it." And they began to complain and grumble and cry out against God. And as a result, he turned against them. And he marched them into the wilderness for 40 years. They wandered. Anyone who was over 20 did not enter into the promised land. Why? Because of ingratitude. They were not grateful. Ingratitude caused them to lose all perspective. And we have this same tendency to turn negative and to become ungrateful and to be filled with ingratitude. And in those moments, we lack the faith to declare the glory of God and talk about the great things he's doing in our lives, to talk about his salvation, to talk about how he's changing us. And so this morning, I want us just to go through the rest of our time in worship, and as we leave here today, with a spirit of gratitude for who God is and what he's done in our lives. If you're one of our servers this morning, I'd like for you to be dismissed for our time of communion that's coming. And I want to prepare the rest of our hearts for this moment by just reading two scriptures very quickly before we sing. And these scriptures remind us of what we have to be grateful for as we enter into communion. A time where bread will come down your row, the broken pieces of bread representing the broken body of Jesus. And a cup will come down your row of juice representing the blood of Jesus. And we're partaking of this just as Jesus asked us to do. To remember his sacrifice, to remember his death on the cross, to remember that we have much to be grateful for. And so Paul would write in Romans 7:25, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." He would write in 1 Corinthians 1:4, "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus." He would say in 1 Corinthians 10:16, a passage about communion, which is what we're doing right now, he said, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" In other words, when we enter into communion, it is with a thankful heart. It is with a grateful heart for what Jesus has done in our lives and setting us free from our sins, paying the price for our sins, becoming the substitute on the cross to pay the price for our sins. It is to thank him for setting us free. That these things that have held us back and condemned us and made us guilty, they are gone. He set us free from that, and we get to proclaim that today. So I just want to invite you right now to stand together to prepare our hearts for communion. We're just going to sing and thank him with gratitude for what he's done. We're going to declare his praises. We're going to tell others about what God has done in our lives. We're going to praise him for his salvation. Let's sing together.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.